Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, the stretch run of G&D on this Wednesday afternoon. Show's brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, medical power of attorney. They do it all. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Those guys are huge D.C. sports fans. Got a Fairfax office. They'll take great care of you, especially if they know you're part of the Grant and Danny family. I've been out here in Ashburn at training camp. If you missed Antonio Williams, the rookie wide receiver from Clemson, on the show today, make sure you grab that audio wherever you get your podcasts when we are done. Earlier today, back in our D.C. studios in the air conditioning, Danny Hutier caught up with Kurt Busch and a guy named Stingray Rob. I'm dead serious. Stingray and then R-O-B-B Rob, who competes in the IndyCar Series. Of course, the Grand Prix 250 is coming to the nation's capital. We've been giving away tickets all week. We got another pair of tickets to give away at 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz tomorrow. But ahead of the Freedom 250 Grand Prix, Danny caught up with Kurt Busch and Stingray Rob. Here's how the conversation went.
Not one, but two guests in studio with us here. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Kurt Busch, Stingray Rob in town this weekend for the Grand Prix Washington, D.C. Pretty unique event. Gentlemen, thanks for being here. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
So you got to help us here. We have not done this before in D.C. How are we doing so far? Greatest. We can be honest. We can take the criticism, right? Let us know. How has it been this week and kind of looking forward to this weekend?
Man, it's awesome. I mean, the Freedom 250 and racing in the streets in Washington, D.C., I mean, it doesn't get any better and more patriotic than this. And to be able to go 170 down Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean, heck yeah, you guys are doing great. Thanks for hosting us.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I think a couple of people have done 170, and they've got some unpaid tickets, and there's a whole D.C. government thing. But how does this vary? Forgive our ignorance. I mean, we're learning about this on the fly. How does this compare, Stingray, to kind of other races and other cities and sort of setups? And this obviously is a unique one. It hasn't been here before, but They've done other city races like this. But how does this compare to kind of your normal week of prep leading up to it, et cetera?
Yeah, this weekend is similar to what we've done in the past, right? Mm-hmm. IndyCar is a bit unique in the diversity of tracks that we have. We do road, street, and oval circuits. The road are the permanent, natural terrain, more legendary tracks that we get to race on. And then the street courses, those are the ones that we show up and we build. And that's what we get to do this weekend. So we get to build a legendary street circuit like this. But again, it's a celebration. This is more than just an IndyCar race. So for us, the preparation is less about the track and the details there, more on what are we trying to figure out to do to get used to this big event, this show, because it is a show. And I think there was around 280,000 ticket requests for this weekend. So we're going to have over 100,000 people each day rolling out to the track. It's going to be a huge event, probably the event of the year for us. It's next to our Super Bowl, which would be the Indy 500.
So Fox, Sunday, August 23rd, extended pre-race coverage begins at 11:30 a.m., Kurt, what about that? Is that kind of the buzz among the drivers where you kind of go, this is bigger than us. This isn't just your normal, trying to win a race. This feels more substantial.
Yeah, once you get the season underway, you're kind of in that grind, you know, and then with Indy, they have their big Indy 500. In NASCAR, we start with our Daytona 500, and sometimes those summer races, you're just grinding away. This is a whole different animal. This, the prestige to win this, and the overall vibe and the feel, will we ever be back? Who knows? You know, this is a 250 celebration of our nation's birthday. And I mean, we've seen different events all around the country. I think this is the exclamation point at the end on racing in the streets around the mall and around the Capitol building here in Washington, D.C.
So another one for you. And again, I'm sure this is the worst part of your job, having to talk to schlubs like me.
I'll help you.
You see the gas pedals on the right. What's the difference for you you're a NASCAR Hall of Famer. What's the difference just in terms of the circuit, the car, the driving, the excitement, just walk me through some of those differences and our audience too.
Yeah. With my race on Saturday, I'm in the IROC class, the International Race of Champions. There's going to be 8 identically prepared old school Firebirds, like Jeff Gordon, Mark Martin, Rusty Wallace, myself, Tony Kanaan, Castro Neves from the IndyCar world. So it's champions from all different disciplines is what created the IROC class. And so we're kind of doing a reunion.
That's fun.
A revival. And so our big heavy stock cars, real similar to a NASCAR car, big horsepower, but a lot of weight. So it takes forever for us to slow down on a street circuit. And it could get pretty gnarly just with the grip level with our big NASCAR cars. Where the Indy cars, they're lightweight, they're nimble, tons of downforce, sequential gearboxes. You know, those are the cars built for the streets.
Stinger, I know you're married. First of all, congratulations. It's still pretty recent enough where you can say congratulations.
Yeah, going on 2 years now.
Very, very cool. You're a veteran. You could probably write a book. what's it like for your wife watching you race?
I think she's pretty calm about it for the most part. She grew up in an Indianapolis area, so for her, she knows about the new 500.
She's familiar with your game.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So when I showed up and said I was a race car driver, she's like, oh, are you really? Like, of course, you're in Indianapolis. But, you know, I think that she's kind of grown to realize that, okay, this is a pretty big thing. You know, what we're doing here, we're risking our lives.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's a sacrifice just as much for me as it is for her most days. It seems like her lifestyle has changed tenfold compared to what I've had to do because I grew up in it. This is just all I know. But for her, this is a bit of a shock. So the last 2 years have been a roller coaster for her, but I think that she loves it.
Is that like the intro of I'm a race car driver, like in Top Gun, I'm a naval aviator? Is it similar like as the approach?
Yeah, it did go poorly the first time that we met. The name doesn't help either, right? Like, hi, my name's Stingray. I'm from a place that you've never heard of in a small town in Idaho, and I drive race cars for a living. It's like, all right, this guy's here to murder me. Which didn't happen, thankfully.
I was going to say, you probably wouldn't be on the circuit. Give me the story of the name.
Thank you for asking.
Yes.
I thought that was going to be the first question, so good job avoiding that.
I mean, listen, it's like I never, like as I was saying to Kurt, it's like you guys have to do so much of this, where it's like some local pudgy radio is like, so tell me about the difference. Like, it's so annoying, and I'm sure
he pumped the brakes a little bit. Now you got it. Now here's the floor.
Now we got it. So give me the story.
So the story goes, my parents were big Corvette fans. So they decided to name me after the Stingray Corvette. The longer side of the story is, Sting is actually short for Sterling. My dad's side of the family's heritage is from Stirling, Scotland. So there was that first name, and then you had the kind of second part, which was Ray, that came from my grandfather's. Both of them had Ray in their name.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just an excuse to name your kid after a Corvette, but nonetheless, it worked out well. I'm not selling insurance or an accountant anymore because, well, that wouldn't work out well.
So how many Corvettes do you have then?
I got none right now.
What?
I got to win the Indy 500. I want that pace car.
Ah, okay. I like the strategy.
Yeah. It feels like Corvette should be aware generally of who you are, and they should probably send something your way. I'm no marketing genius, but it feels like a natural
If you
fit.
Know anyone, let them know.
I do not, but I will see if I can just throw the bat signal up. Joined in the studio by Stingray Rob, Kurt Busch. The race this weekend, 250 Grand Prix, the Freedom 250 Grand Prix of Washington, D.C., takes place this whole weekend, August 22nd, 23rd. Coverage starts Sunday on Fox at 11:30 a.m. These special races, again, I just want to kind of go back and touch on that. As you guys kind of talked about, the buildup feels different. There's a lot more media, it feels like. Or is this more is this normal, kind of going
this
place to place?
This is not normal.
This is not normal, right? I have empathy because, again, a rube like me simply cannot process and understand how difficult what you guys do is, and you trying to explain that is like me trying to explain, you know, Chinese to an ant. There's like no chance that I'd ever comprehend it. How exhausting is it? Like, how, I don't say unfun, because you, I know you guys are, you know, in great spirits and able to deal with this for a few minutes, but like, how much of a grind is that as part of the job?
You know, I said it's not normal. This is just a higher magnitude of what we normally go through. Mm-hmm. You know, motorsports is a business. And the way that we operate as drivers, we're ambassadors for our partners. And so we're doing this kind of stuff day in and day out, probably more often than we're actually inside the race car. The racing is just a side effect of everything else we're doing in the business side beyond the racetrack. So for us, this is something that's enjoyable. We have to be able to enjoy this. We like talking to you guys because this is where our passion gets to come out in the conversations that we have. And racing at a track like Washington, D.C., this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So why would we not want to talk about that? Celebrating mm-hmm. America. Being Americans, I'm one of 8 in the series that get to represent my country's colors on a circuit that will probably never get run on again. So for me, I'm looking at this like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that no one else has got a chance to do and may not ever have a chance in the future.
Kurt, for you, with your illustrious NASCAR career, et cetera, is there a, and again, forgive my ignorance, is there a, when you peek over it at a different car, different circuit, different type of thing, and go, oh, that's cool, I'd like to do that one day too?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, compared to what you're doing. Tell me about that.
No, for years I was telling NASCAR, we're kind of stuck in the rut of running the same oval tracks. And we only had 2 road courses, you mm-hmm. know, the permanent ones in Sonoma and Watkins Glen. Now, both of those have their heritage, but it's like, we need to start looking like F1's doing more street racing. And, you know, with Vegas coming up on the, on the map with F1, you know, Miami, you know, they've been in Monaco for decades, but it's like NASCAR, let's, we got to mix this up. And so the Chicago street race happened for NASCAR cars, and it was insane. Same type of buildup like this is here in Washington, D.C. And that's where I think IndyCar was like, yeah, we've been running Long Beach forever, which that's the most prestigious street circuit in the United States. You know, they raced in Canada last weekend, and now here we are at D.C. I like it for the fun. I like it for the difference. It makes you feel like a kid again when you're going to new venues and new challenges.
So I've been to two NASCAR races, never been to an IndyCar race. I'm going to change that this weekend.
Yeah, there you go.
So the thing that I tell people who have never been is the sound. That's the reason to go. It, you feel the sound. I don't know how to explain it the other way. I went in Richmond. I went in Charlotte.
Yeah.
I still can. It's tied to my memory. Like that, they look like they're going that fast as you come around the oval, and then it's at a jillion miles an hour, and the sound hits you first and almost knocks you back. And like you feel it in your chest. How similar or different is the sound for an IndyCar race? Is it?
It's not going to be the same ribcage rattling sound that you're going to get, but the speed is what shocks people. Mm-hmm. When we're going around a track like this, you think, oh, they're doing 120, 130 miles an hour, let alone the IROC guys are doing 150. We're probably going to be close to 170, 175. So tracks like this, we are going a little bit slow for us. Other tracks like Indianapolis Motor Speedway, we're doing 240 miles an hour. So that shock of the change of speed from, you know, your public roads at Pennsylvania Avenue, I think it's probably 25, 35 miles an hour to 175. It's a little quicker.
Indeed. Yeah, it's the sound, it's the feel, and then like pit crew, you know, like to be close down on pit road, fans are always like blown away on the ballet of our guys in NASCAR changing tires in 9 seconds. You know, IndyCar can do it just even quicker because they have four air guns, but they're waiting on the fuel to make sure they're full of fuel. But it's again, the teamwork, the effort. And then seeing just the whole production show up, it's like, boom, the race is in town, man.
And it's now great athletes that are doing that. It's not just, you know, the old pudgy guy smoking a Winston to wait anymore. It's like,
yeah, we used to have the shock guy. Hey, you want to change the tire this week? Here's $100, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's a whole different game now with the athleticism behind the wheel, but also that jump over the wall.
So last one for you guys, and I'll let you jump. This course, 7-turn, 1.7-mile circuit. How different is that than kind of your normal course? Similarities, walk me through what you know.
It's maybe less than a mile shorter than the track that we were just at in the streets of Canada last weekend in Markham. But it's still very bumpy, very dynamic, and it follows the natural roads that you're going to see that other people are driving on the rest of the year. So for us, this isn't too abnormal. This is just a different package of what we already know, but in a much more legendary backdrop with Capitol Hill, or the Capitol building, Smithsonian building, and everything else. I mean, I can't think of a better backdrop on our circuit across the country.
Yeah, I like it because you'll have that butterfly feel of, dude, this is so cool, right? But then by lap five, you're like, okay, I'm a professional race car driver. I got to zone in and block everything out and start to master the circuit and do it quicker than the competition. That's what it takes to be a winner and to be a champion.
It's funny, Kurt was mentioning that they're going to be in exhibition mode this weekend. And I said, with eight of you guys out there, there's not going to be a single person that isn't pushing 100%. You got legends behind the wheel. So I'm excited about the Saturday race. I think that'll be quite the show and set the course for Sunday.
That's when we get the IndyCar guys against the NASCAR guys. Uh-huh. There's always that riff, like, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. But that,
well, there was somebody to figure out who was better with a race kind
of
thing.
Usually the NASCAR guys prevail. But no, to throw props here, Stingray Rob, your race, 147 laps. I mean, the arm pump and the length of this race for a normal IndyCar street circuit, it is one of their longest races of the year. So I'll be up in the suite drinking a beer by the start-finish line, rooting you on Sunday there, bro.
Well, actually, let me follow up on that. The strength and dexterity part of it, it's obviously there's a strength element to it, but being able to sustain that with the incredible amount of focus, that's kind of, to me, the next level that both you guys obviously
that's
have been
where
able to
IndyCar,
do for so
long. It's tougher on the body and mentally and physically. IndyCars are tougher to drive, especially on a street circuit, than a NASCAR car.
Yeah. The rigidity of an IndyCar on a street circuit really just goes through your body as a driver. Those bumps, those manhole covers that you're seeing out there, we feel every single detail, and it is brutal. Over the course of a race, when you're saying 147 laps, 250 miles around this place, our heart rates are going to average around 155, 160 probably for a 2.5 hour stint. So it's like running a marathon for some fit athletes.
I've heard of marathons. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So they sound hard.
For us, I think that the goal is just to get through an event and survive, but also like, how do you find a way to push a car to its limits over a bumpy street circuit where there's concrete blind corners at 170 miles an hour?
Yeah, well, a bunch of guys are trying to beat you.
That's right.
Pretty incredible. Gentlemen, this is a pleasure. Really appreciate you guys coming in. I say good luck and really enjoy this weekend. It's going to be pretty special.
Thank you.
I wish my name was Stingray Rob. Seriously, that's a really cool name. Stingray Pulse would work too. I mentioned the Antonio Williams interview. Let's play a snippet for you out here in Ashburn today. The rookie wide receiver talking about his first preseason action and his first catch in the NFL against the Dolphins this past week.
Felt good to get out there, get your feet wet, be in front of the crowd. First time seeing the stadium, so it was a lot of experiences to take in at one. But I think I learned a lot from that game just in terms of my routine and when I need to arrive and what I need to do to be ready.
We don't think about that much. I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm thinking about all the football stuff. How much of the preseason game for you was like that? Like, okay, here's the locker room. Here's when I want to get here, that kind of stuff.
Besides, like, actually playing and getting in front of the fans, I think that was the biggest thing for me. Like, you know, it's different from college. You know, you don't have a mandatory bus you got to be on. Or you're staying in a team hotel, but you get a drive to the game. So it's a lot different. And, you know, first experience of mine like that. So it was big for me.
What's your take on, joint practice that you had against Miami? It seems to me like that's a game-level intensity. And then the game itself, like, is there a difference between padded practice layered up to a joint practice? Is there another layer up to a game? Like, how do you view that?
Yeah, I would say there's definitely a difference. First, like, when you're practicing against your own teammates, a lot different. You want to be more safe and cautious. But then when you see a different jersey and a guy you don't know, even in joint practice, it's a little bit different. Like, you don't really have that cautiousness. You're just going out there and playing and having a little more aggressiveness. And I would say it's pretty similar to a game, except you're not tackling in the practice.
Antonio Williams on Grant and Danny. I love watching you run routes out here and just route people up with your footwork. What's your favorite route to run? Or, like, what, as a route running receiver, is your favorite thing to do, I guess?
Well, my favorite route to run doesn't really involve too much cutting. It's just a fade or a slot fade, wherever I'm at, just one-on-one, go make a play, and those are the explosive ones.
When you're running a fade, I think the average fan thinks it's like run the same way every time. Are you setting someone up with footwork differently each time, or like that bait step is different, or is your fade kind of look the same if you watched it on tape?
You definitely want to, you know, make different things look the same. Same things look different. So, I mean, you got to know who you're going against and what type of technique they're using. They like to skate off the snap, or if they're like heavy press and want to jam you, you got to know to get off quicker and use your hands more. So it all depends on who you're going against. But obviously, as a receiver, we dictate how the snap goes, how the play is going to go. They're going off us, so we're always in control, and I like filling it up.
I know this is all you've known, but I love how tight this receiver room is. Today, there was a deep ball that Burks laid out for. Like, everyone ran down the sideline just to dap him up, even though he couldn't get to it. It wasn't his fault. I'm just curious, like, what your thought is on that. I know you haven't been in another receiver room in the league, but does that surprise you at all? Because you guys are all competing for the same jobs.
I mean, I think that's what makes makes all of us great, or what's going to make us great, is just competing. I think that's the name of the game, and it's only one ball to go around, and everybody wants that one ball, but you got to earn it, you got to work for it, and, I mean, you're going to be happy for your teammate when he gets it, too. It's no animosity towards each other, and, you know, I'm learning from all those guys. So, I mean, I think all the rooms I've been in have been tight like that, but even in college, too. So, you know, I'm good to – looking forward to keep going with these guys.
Last thing before I let you go, we like to introduce our listeners to players off the field. What are your favorite things to do when you're not playing football? Are you a gamer, TV binger? What do you do?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, I just got done watching Game of Thrones. So
the OG Game of Thrones?
OG. My mom watched it a long time ago. I just finished it. She said I need to watch House of Dragon next. But I binge. I play the game. I golf. I fish. Man of many talents.
It sounds like it. You were a Game of Thrones fan. Were you in? Did you like it?
I loved it. I finished it in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh my God.
And we started camp like in the middle of it, so it slowed me down. I would have finished it earlier.
You would have cranked it out in like a week.
Yeah.
I think you'll like House of the Dragon then too. Yeah, it's up the same alley.
I've heard.
I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
Antonio Williams, rookie wideout with the Commanders on Grant and Danny. Big thanks to Darius and Strober back in studio. Toby for helping me out here in Ashburn. Topher time is actually coming your way next. Toby Altizer has you covered into the evening, and then the Nats and the Rangers with Cade Cavalli on the bump at 8:05 coming up right here on The Fan. For Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. We are back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you for coming.